Congratulations. You're listening to Congratulations Pine Tree, the Bay's number one arts and culture podcast with me, Kate Rhodes.
And me, Maysoon Wazwaz.
This is our last episode before summer break.
Summer break. Everybody better take a summer break. Yeah.
And so we'll be back. We'll be back at the end of summer and we will be... And let's not say exactly when that is to give ourselves leeway. And so I hope everyone has a safe and good time and everyone's getting vaccinated if they're not already.
Yep.
And taking fire safety seriously.
Yes. And please get your emergency kits ready. Just in case. Always good to be prepared.
Hang ten. I have to be a little quiet because Katie's having 500 meetings.
Oh, okay. You can always turn yourself up. But it'll always sound like you're whispering is the thing, even if you turn it up.
Yeah.
You'll be whispering loudly. Yes, Kate?
It's all about the timbre of your voice. But Maysoon.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Do you think we can start recording in person again when we come back?
I think we should try it out. I mean, we did drive
together.
I'm
excited for that.
You're very excited. Yeah.
We're going to have new segments. We'll be back to weekly episodes.
Yay.
You think?
Yeah.
We can interview people.
Yes.
We're going to just be like better than ever. We say this every time, but we really mean it this time.
We really are. You know, we really owe you. We really owe you, our listeners, to be better than ever.
We don't owe them a damn thing except for Jim Prosser, our one and only donor to the show.
Jim Prosser, we really owe you to be
the best. We salute you. We salute you and you only. Here's the deal. We shared a car ride out to the Headlands.
We sure did. And we
remember that?
Kate was like, as soon as she got into the car, she was like, so what's the deal here? Are we wearing masks or not? And I was like, you can do whatever you want, Kate, because we're both fully vaccinated.
So we had masks. Maysoon had a mask on all the time.
I had a mask on all the time. But Kate was like, great, I can't wait to get this wet rag off my face. I really,
because all I'm doing is breathing my hot, wet vapor into
I know.
I'm waterboarding myself.
I mean, especially if you're rushing around like you were to get to meet me, and it's sort of like, ugh, it's such a nightmare.
I just got a wet face all the time. I mean, you know, even when I'm not wearing a mask.
I really don't think of you as having a wet face, to be quite honest. I mean, in all the years I've known you. I do, however, I still sincerely regret not fighting someone for your drawing at your first MDR, where you were so nervous and you made a drawing of yourself basically melting in sweat. It was so great.
Maysoon, I'll just draw you another one.
I know. It's just different.
This is the thing. You don't can draw whatever you want whenever you want.
I know, but it's just different
This is fake scarcity. This is Reaganomics at work.
That's what I think of when I think of you. When I think of you saying that you sweat constantly, I think of that particular drawing. And it's lovely.
I'm talking sweat.
We're talking puddles.
My mouth and my nose are the main moisture centers of my body.
That's probably accurate for most people.
Okay. Here's the deal, Maysoon. We went out to
the Headlands.
We took a long drive. You have a very unique driving style.
Oh, my God. Kate, you're not the only one to have said that. Are you afraid when I'm driving? Or is it just sort of like, oh, God, Maysoon's being intense? Yeah.
No, I'm not afraid
at
all.
Thank God.
I feel very like you're in command.
Oh, good. I feel that way myself. I feel like I'm a very attentive and alert driver, but I'm also very much like, let's go, people. Move it along. I'm not driving for fun. I'm getting somewhere.
I just think of it as some kind of Chicago driving, although Chicago is not New York. Are people really hustling and bustling in Chicago?
Chicago, everyone I know who drives is like, we all drive the same.
Yeah. Okay. That's what I figured. I figured it was a Chicago thing.
It's kind of a Chicago thing. It's like, we're not fucking around here. Let's get to it kind of vibe.
Okay, Maysoon. Yeah. Okay, Maysoon. And what do we see out there? We saw the grad show.
We saw the
graduate
grad show.
Fellows.
Yeah.
Don't you be typing or clicking. Don't you type or click one thing.
Did you hear that?
I did.
I have a piece of paper in my hand. Is that going to be acceptable for you?
Yeah, get the paper. You can rustle the paper noise.
It's just good. Paper.
Yeah, rustle and then it around.
My computer did make a little sound because it's like you have an email that just came through. Anyhow, the graduate show is called Tarsal by Metatarsal. Wait, Tarsal by Metatarsal.
And tarsals are the bones in your feet.
Yes. And it was organized by PJ Gubatina Policarpio, who was fucking awesome and who I haven't seen around very much or even on the, you know, social medias, but I do love PJ. And it featured students or, you know, the grad students from let's name this the schools because you and I the seem alums. To always forget
Wait,
them.
Let's do it again. Here we go. Let's name them off. You have the list in front of you. I'm going to guess all
I want you to guess. Go.
Can you tell me how many there are? Is it seven?
One, two, three, four, five, seven. Let's do it.
I even knew how many there were. Okay, we got UC Davis.
Yes.
Correct. UC Berkeley.
Correct.
SF State.
Yes, three.
SFAI.
Four, yes.
CCA.
Yes, five.
Mills.
Yes, six. Good. So close.
And wait, there's one more.
Yeah.
Don't you fucking tell me.
I'm not even going to give you a hint.
Don't you dare
tell me. Suffer through the struggle.
Oh my God.
Dude, this one is so obvious.
Stanford.
Ah, seven, yes.
Nailed it.
Nailed it. That was really good. I think I probably would have forgotten SF State again like an asshole.
I forgot UC Davis.
So those
when we were there, I was like, UC Davis?
Oh, yeah. We did. We were like, when did they get involved in the Headlands? But apparently forever. Yeah, so we had Callum Craik from SF State, Jillian Crochet from CCA, Sandra Ibarra from UC Berkeley, Yetunde Olabaju from Mills, Jessica Eve Ratner from Davis, Stuart Robertson from Stanford, and Lena Wright from SFAI.
Who was the artist that did all the stuff about accessibility?
Jillian Crochet.
Yeah, I thought that work was interesting. There's a map outside. Is that map always there?
Let me try to remember the map. Sorry,
Like on a didactic display.
When you're going towards the basketball court.
Right. Yeah, around the Headlands, complex.
Yeah.
And they annotated it with notes about the different, issues with accessibility of each building, giving, tips to people if they're, for example, if there's ramp access and things like that.
Yeah.
I thought that was really cool.
That was great. That was great. I thought that was really cool, too. I also really liked Jillian's work in the bathroom at the Headlands, where they basically, not remodeled, but made one of the restroom or the now only restroom at the Headlands wheelchair accessible. Which is correct that none of them had been before. And so there's only one restroom in there, but it is accessible to everyone now, which I thought was great. And there was even like a inside the restroom. I actually had to use the restroom. I didn't realize it was an art piece until I was inside. And there was a little, plaque on the wall or a little sort of label. Sorry. Thank you.
Info.
It's been a while.
Yeah.
There's a little label about the piece that you're currently in and using, which was great. I liked that element. It's sort of a surprise element because I didn't realize, I guess I wasn't fully aware that there were pieces sort of not just or spread out throughout the campus, not just in the one exhibition space.
Yeah. But I'll say there was a ton of great work in that show. Get in your hot tub time machine and go back so you can see the grad show. Annie Al Bagley also had an immersive video installation over in the gym.
I love that space.
And it had a thing where you could be touching rocks. We were in a black box, screening room kind of gallery thing.
Yeah.
I really felt at that moment like we were back in the swing of things because there were people there.
There were a lot of people there. I didn't actually love how many people were there, but I worked through it. I was fine.
I felt socially awkward, you know, how you are when you come into one of those dark spaces and you're kind of tiptoeing around.
You want to make sure you don't sit on someone by mistake.
Yeah, figuring out where to sit. So I feel that I've re-entered society.
I did like being informed early or, off right at the beginning that we could touch the rocks because I was immediately like, great, I'm going to touch all the rocks.
If there's something to touch, you better tell me. Right,
I'm pretty much
gate.
Ready to touch everything first. So just tell me what I can touch. I'll go do that, and then I'll you know, settle down a little bit more.
Yeah.
But yes, she did.
And then, because we kind of got through all our art viewing kind of quick, we were like, what else can we do out here? So we sure enough walked through the tall grass out to the
basketball court.
To the basketball court. And Maysoon was looking at the field, thinking of all the possibilities of the liminal space of the grassy area. Yes. And she was like, what would you do if you had just had access to this space? And I was like, you mean like for an art project? And she was like, well, for anything. And I was like, well, the first thing I would have to do is take Wally's flea and tick medicine. And Maysoon was like, what are you talking about?
I just was surprised that that was your first fucking response. I was like, what? Uh-huh. I was expecting something, you know, completely creative and out of this world.
But well, and then sure enough, as soon as practical. We get back to the car, what happens, Maysoon?
I was doing a little quick tick check just because I was like, let's not bring the ticks in the car. And I made Kate do one, too. And we were rubbing down our legs and make sure we couldn't feel anything. And sure enough, right on the very top tongue of my gym shoe, there was a tick. And I flicked it.
Yes.
I flicked
it
away.
It's tick city out there.
And then
the
I was
dryness,
panicked. And
the
then
tall
I was a little
grass.
Bit panicked.
It's a tick.
We really did walk through the tall grass. So if you go yep. out to the Headlands or anywhere where there's tall grass at this time of year, I encourage you to either wear some light-colored clothing because that's
wear
the best way to
gator,
identify.
Wear those waders, those like rubber pants that fly fishermen
you
wear.
You could do that. You could also tuck your – I would definitely encourage you to wear pants and nothing short of pants so that you keep your skin protected. And you can tuck your pants into your white tube socks, and that way you're really going to see if a – dark colored tick lands on you. Mm-hmm.
Hey, Maysoon, I am recording.
Okay, good. Me too. I would also highly recommend when you get home, if you have a roommate or a partner or someone, a neighbor who can come over and just do a quick tick check, especially in the hard to reach areas like behind the knees. I mean, you kind of have to really contort a bit to see behind the knees. And even in the armpits, I would say it's sort of a good spot. Oh, you have a mirror. You can do that. Maybe you're back.
Can you imagine calling your neighbor?
Excuse me. Hi, hello. Would you mind coming over and checking me for ticks? Thank you.
That's neighbor goals. I do have one neighbor I feel like I could do that with. It wouldn't be like, oh yeah, like no hesitation at all.
That's sweet.
It would probably be a little bit of a...
I think most of my neighbors would be like, oh, probably not.
Like, okay. Well, that's what you got to work toward. That's our summer goal.
Fortunately, I live
goal.
With someone, so that's a good thing. But I did ask Jimbo to check.
No, summer goal is to have
I asked Jimbo
at
to
least
check
one
my
neighbor.
Hair, my hair and my head, and he was a terrible, terrible at checking. I kind of wish I was back with you and Katie, who seem to be very good
oh,
at
checking. Katie would go
ticks.
All the way. Katie would go yeah. all the way like
Katie's
it was
gonna
her
pull
own
out
head.
Her like lice comb and just like
yeah,
comb
and her headlamp.
Through.
Her headlamp.
And her headlamp. Oh, I love that. It's so good.
Honest to God. You know, Morgan Basicus has a song about ticks, and I'm just going to play a little bit of it now.
Please do.
You'll have friendships. Whoa. You'll have friendships. I think you will. And those friendships will be coming to you. They'll say, meet me in the park for a picnic. Oh, meet me in the forest for a walk. Oh, meet me in the meadow for some meadow time. I don't know. Meet me in the grass out back. But baby, there are ticks in that grass. Oh. There are ticks in that grass. All right, listen to me. So just go back inside. All right? Go back inside.
Okay, Maysoon, I also went over to Cushion Works.
Yeah. Cushion Works, a space run by Jordan Stein.
Yep. And I saw Lindsay White's show that's up called What is Art? That's with what a question mark after each word.
I can literally see Lindsay saying that. I can see and hear her saying it emphatically.
Wow.
I kind of love
it. Wow. And then ABT, which is a collective and apparently a subsidiary of another group called Bad Society.
Oh.
Okay. They had a show also up there called A Limited 24-Hour Funny Business that had all these fucking weird, like, consumer products, like a stamp and a sweatshirt and a baseball hat that are all kind of about, like, I don't know, like performative white social justice kind of stuff.
Okay.
It was very funny to me. Like, they had a white baseball cap that said, like, oh, here it is. It says Decolonial Google Docs, and then it has, like, three palm trees. It looks like a vacation. Well, I mean, it's all a little tongue-in-cheek, I think. Mm-hmm. You know, it's about, like, so there was, like, a stamp you could get that said, like, listening and learning.
Oh, my God.
It was so good. It was so
good. I love that stamp. That's amazing.
Yeah. And Lindsay had a beautiful show of photographs taken all around SFAI showing the campus as it was kind of abandoned once the pandemic started. So a lot of, like, you know, abandoned looking spaces and, you know, places where people should be, but they're not.
Was there, did she, you know, Lindsay's work often really incorporates humor in a subtle ways, I would say. Did you see any of that, or was it a little more somber maybe?
I think it was pretty somber. There were a couple moments. There was, I remember one photograph where it's like somebody clipped out a cartoon, like from the newspaper and pinned it to the wall. That had a little levity to it, but it felt pretty like contemplative maybe.
Yeah. Yeah, that makes sense. I mean, you know, we all know what's been going on there.
Yeah. And so, excellent show. I think that's still going to be open this upcoming weekend. So there's still opportunities. And I think you can just go. You don't need an appointment anymore. You just go up to the door and buzz it.
Oh, really? Oh, okay. Well, I did want to, like, you know, just, I thought we could maybe say a little bit about Anna Halperin.
Oh, yes.
Bay Area international legend, dance, modern dancer, innovator, choreographer, who passed away on Monday at 101. Just so incredible. Damn. But she was just a real sort of visionary in sort of moving modern dance in a more, like, I don't know how you would really describe it, but more in, like, feeling movement versus, like, perfecting technique kind of a thing.
Yeah, I have a quote. Can I read this quote from her?
Yeah. Yeah.
So this was an interview that she did. And the interviewer just basically asked, like, how would you like to end this interview?
Oh, uh-huh.
Okay. She's like, I keep coming back to the thought that what's important is not mastery, but mystery at the heart of life itself. When we tap into the deep regions of the dancing body, we have that wonderful opportunity to tap into that which we have no words for, that which seems to go to a place that connects us to ourselves and each other in a harmonious way. I would say that anybody who has experienced dance on a holistic level has literally touched on the mystery, that there is an experience you can tap into that goes beyond the rationale of words. There seem to be moments which are unique to the moment when you are dancing, and they don't seem to operate in any other context. I think that's the most important thing that dance has taught me, to accept the mystery of life. There is something beyond what my rational mind can see. There is some mystery to the life force, to the collective body, and to our ability to appreciate that we're all breathing the same air. We're all in this together.
Aw. Ugh. That's awesome. She was just, she was just really interested in, like, exploring movement through, like, your internal being, kind of, which is really different, a really different way of, I mean, it is different and it's also very familiar in some ways. I remember taking classes with her, like, when I first moved to the Bay Area, well, maybe a few years in, but I would go out to her studio in Marin and take classes there, and just because I had heard, I didn't know that much about her until I moved out here, because I just was really sort of versed in like the New York school or the just different schools of dance. And so I wanted to learn more about her. But I remember after classes or towards the end of the classes, she'd pull out paper and I think it was, probably wasn't paint, maybe markers and stuff. And she'd ask us to just draw how we were feeling or like draw a scene or something that inspired us for like in the movement that we were doing. And that was super interesting because for me, drawing or creating visual artwork in any way is very uncomfortable for me. So it was like a really interesting combination of like movement, which is something that comes to me very naturally, and then having to draw something, which comes to me as like a very, I don't know, very charged kind of, or not charged, but very difficult for me. Just bringing those two things together was really interesting. And, you know, she did that a lot. So it was sort of like you're constantly, I was constantly kind of having to struggle with these two worlds that I felt were like, you know, opposed, but were obviously not at all.
Frameline is happening, the Frameline Film Festival. And Kevin Clark, who is a queer performer and actor and Taurus, proud Taurus, is, I think, premiering, I'm going to say premiering, a short film called Funeral March. So everybody go see that. It's going to be at the Roxy Theater. Look it up. Everyone's having babies. Congratulations to all the new parents out there and to all the babies.
Okay.
Good luck. It sounds like hell.
I can give a little like Chris, our friend of the show, Christy Chan, is launching a new project, a new projection called Dear America, and this will be in San Francisco's Chinatown. And let's see what she says. Dear America will be a series of artworks by AAPI artists projected large scale on buildings throughout the Bay Area from mid-June to mid-July. So just 1 month, people. With artworks by Mel Chin, Chinatown Art Brigade, Christine Wang Yap, Kathy Liu, Jennifer K. Wofford, and more. The projections are intended to be a message of solidarity to Asian American communities in the Bay Area who are feeling scared or terrorized, a.k.a. we are with you.
If people are looking for sublets, I've been seeing a lot of people looking for sublets or offering sublets. Just know that there's a lot of subleasing going on.
Okay, that's good. And also, listeners, if you hear of, you know, apartments for rent, sublets, feel free to send those our way because we sometimes hear about people in need.
Yes, give us a call, 419-351-6606. You can tweet us at Pine Tree Podcast, or you can send us an email, congratulationspinetree@gmail.com. Katie and I have a song, When She's Mean to Me, where, which is, she's never really mean to me, but sometimes I do feel slighted in my home, and yes. I'll be like, mean person, mean person, mean oh, person no. doesn't refill the ice trays.
Oh, that is so good.
So you can use that. Obviously, you can customize that to whatever your situation is.
Yeah, that's perfect.
And that's my gift to you, the listener, to hopefully tide you over for the next 2 months or so.
Sounds good.
And I want to say thank you to all the artists. Thank you to all the listeners. And no thank you to all the hegemonic ruling class of our society.
I concur. Okay. I want to say thank you, Kate, for being my podcast partner.
No, thank you, Maysoon.
No, thank you.
You are the heart and soul of this podcast.
I feel like our cats are all of our pets.
Yeah, that's
true. Talk about incessantly are also.
Well, they're the skeleton.
They are.
And I am the pancreas.
I'm just, what am I? I'm going to be the, let's see. Maybe I'm like the hair.
Okay. You keep all the dirt out of the nostril cavity.
So far we have like hair and pancreas and skeleton. This is a good looking podcast.
Oh my.
What does the pancreas do?
Is that like the...
Does the pancreas is where like insulin or whatever happens? Is that right?
Is that right?
I don't fucking know.
Well, you're the one who
listen to some other podcast if you want to know what the pancreas does, people. Okay, Maysoon. Well, I'm just going to be from when we stop recording to when we do our next recording, I'm just going to be on a continuous circuit going back and forth from the bridge
to the other bridge
to the island in between. This has been
Congratulations Pine Tree.
Just to wait.